and welcome to this week's edition of the Phantasmal Necromantic Paranormal Podcast. I'm Tammy, along with my co-host, Brandy.
Hello.
We are going to be talking about some UFO stuff today. Yes. Brandy has a story. It's kind of mind-blowing, and it happened to her brother on her family's property. Like, we've talked about it before.
Yep.
And it's one of those weird things where she thinks there might be an explanation for it, but so far, we can't come up with one. Yeah, it's like when you hear some of the stuff that's happened with this situation, because I'm going to let her tell a story. It's like one of those things that you'll ask questions and be like, well, maybe this or that.
Yeah.
There's just no answer. It's just like, that's weird. Right. So Brandy's going to tell a story. Then we're just going to talk about the latest UFO sightings that have happened this month in the United States. And we're going to talk about some things that have gone on with the government this month. So as far as UFO sightings go and everything. And then I will also have in our show notes, I'll have links to all the websites and everything. So if you're interested in looking up some of these stories and more, you can go to those links and you can kind of read all day long about different UFO sightings. One of the sites is really, really good about having pictures and videos of specific stories and stuff. So, you know, you can kind of judge for yourself. I read a few on there where I was like, kite,
you know, because there was weather balloon.
yeah, weather balloon, or somebody released some helium balloons, you know.
Yeah.
So a few of them I was like, I don't know, this deserves to be on the site, because I feel like it wasn't a craft, it was something that floated up into the air.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know where it came from, but yeah, I don't think it's extraterrestrial. But like, they do have a lot of videos and pictures and stuff, so you can kind of make up your own conclusion. But having said that, I'm going to hand this over to Brandy, and she is going to tell us her. We can't say it's a UFO story. We think it's a UFO story.
Yeah.
Because it was nothing in the air, but it is something that happened on the ground.
Yeah. Yep.
So, okay. Brandy, you take it away.
Okay. So, this happened 10, 15 years ago. So, my mother had called me one day, and she asked me and the kids want to take a ride over to my brother's house. And where he was living, this was the house in a very rural area in Lee County, North Carolina, where I grew up. And this is where we lived when I was a kid. He was still living in the home at the time. This was like a 7-acre tract. My grandparents lived on one end of it was a dirt road that we grew up on. So they lived on one end of the dirt road, and we were up closer to the top by the main road. So anyway, she asked me, did we want to take a ride up to my brother's house? He called her and said there was some sort of tracks around the house there that he wanted us to come look at, or at least my mom or whatever. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I mean, we didn't have anything else going on. I felt like going to see my brother. I didn't know what in the world my mom was talking about. And in my mind, I think I thought that it was like animal tracks or whatever, because she didn't specify. And I don't even know that she knew exactly what they were, or that they weren't animal tracks, because she didn't say anything, you know, one way or the other, or what specifically they were. She comes to my house. We drive over to my brother's house. Get there and get out. My brother comes out of the house, and he starts telling us about these tracks that were at the house. And he said that, I brought my camera too. I had like a digital Nikon camera or whatever. I remember him coming out and saying he had woken up and came outside that day, later in the day or whatever, or in the morning, and found these. So this happened overnight while he was asleep. He came home in the evening, or was home all day, because I can't remember specifically what day this was, if he woke up Saturday morning or Sunday morning and they were there, whichever, but been there, went inside, they were not there in the evening, but when he woke up and came outside the next day, they were there. So anyway, he tells us that, and then he was like, okay, so come, let me show you where they are, because where the house was located in the woods, there was a front yard and backyard, you say that, but this is in the woods, so there was no grass. Right. It was just there was trees all around the front and back of the house. There was just leaves and everything. Like you sat a little house in the woods. There was almost like a half circle drive or just two driveways. So there's one on the left and the right. So we had pulled in the first driveway there. And so we were just stopped right there. So he had to proceed to kind of walk up in front of the house to show us like some of these things. So anyway, he shows us what I, like you said, I've always tried in my head to figure out what in the world causes. These were lines in the ground that ran nonstop forever, and you could only see them. And I still don't know. I mean, there could have been ones through the woods under the leaves that we didn't know were there because they were underneath all the debris that was in the trees and the, you know, the wood line. But in the parts of the yard that was just basically like a sandy, muddy kind of soil in that area, Lee County, with, you know, rocks and leaves everywhere. Those that were visible were just straight lines that, I mean, the straightest they could possibly be, like ruler straight. They just went on forever, and they were an indention into this sandy, muddy soil. When I looked at some of them close, because I was like following them all over, and they, you know, some of them crossed over each other. I don't remember how many there were in the front yard, and I don't remember if there were any in the backyard, but I know they ran parallel to the house in the front of the house. When I examined them more closely, if there was a rock in the soil that you would have to pick out, it wasn't like it was laying on top of the soil. If it was like in the soil, this line would run through the rock and keep going. Like it didn't stop, the rock didn't stop it from going on. And it, I mean, it would continue on. And there were like places where there was a line going nonstop all the way through to wherever. And there'll be like a leaf sitting there or a branch that fell out of a tree, anything like that. If I would pick the leaf up or the stick or whatever, that line would be there underneath it. Like it went under the leaf or under the stick or a little branch or whatever you want to call it, under the rock. It just, nothing stopped it. It didn't leap over it or whatever was causing it. And
the leaf and the sticks weren't damaged in any
no,
way.
No, no. There, this, I mean, it looked to me like something, a laser is what I always thought was the only thing in my mind that could leave something, a line like that, an indention in the soil that went on forever like that. It didn't stop, or it was so straight. Like nothing else to my knowledge could make something that straight. There was no burn marks on the leaves or sticks or the sand, you know, it wasn't melted or discolored. It was just, you could picture it like if you had a soft enough sandy clay soil to make a indention in it, like if you were driving a bicycle through that or drag a kid dragging a stick behind them, that kind of indention, more so dragging the stick, I'll say, than a bicycle tire, because that kind of leaves a flatter indention,
right.
But dragging a stick makes that deeper line.
Almost like a trowel line.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And that's how this was, or how I would compare it. It wasn't a stick that was being dragged. I mean, there, if you drag a stick on the sand or whatever, it will move somewhat and you'll have like a wavy line or whatever. It doesn't, I mean, this was just perfectly straight.
And like I said, you're not going to be able to drag a stick very far without skewing off course.
Yeah. You know, and too, if you hit a rock or a stick or something, it would move drastically or kick it up or whatever or to the side. Yes. And this did not do that at all. I've never in my life seen anything make a track, a mark, or whatever you want to call this in anything before. And I've always in my mind thought it was something either that you couldn't explain that had to do with a UFO, or the my main thought, which was easier and less scary to imagine, is that it was some kind of like an aircraft, like a military aircraft, because those were my two explanations. Like, there's got to be some military craft that has some kind of a laser for some reason that they would be pointing that might make this indention. But you know how we were talking about this last week? A laser would burn.
Yeah, that's the only thing. The whole fact that you could move a leaf and it was still under the leaf and the sticks, but yet there's no damage.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm thinking wrong about how lasers would, you know, maybe I'm thinking very cartoonish, you know, how the laser comes down from the sky and yes. It like burns everything in its path. You
yeah.
know? But then when you talk about how the soil is not burnt.
Right.
Because another thing I'm thinking too, we live in the sand hills. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about when we talk about, our soil around here is literally like if you went to the beach, it's a little less cave in than that, but it's yeah. still very, very, very sandy. Mm-hmm. And it is very hard for us to grow like grass and stuff where we live because it's just sand.
Yeah.
The sand can be very loose in different places. I know mm-hmm. several what in other areas of the country be called dirt roads. It's just a sand road, and I don't know how people drive down them and don't get bogged up.
Yeah.
But so what she's talking about, you know, how this thing is in the sand, all I can think about, if it's a laser, like it would have to have some heat to it, or maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Once again, going off of television. So,
yeah.
And like I said, maybe that's not how lasers work. Let us know if you guys know. And I'm just thinking it would have to crystallize the sand or something.
Yeah.
And definitely burn the leaves. I mean, mm-hmm. and then that's a scary thought because anybody could start a forest fire anywhere they wanted to if you had that kind of control with the laser.
Right. But, and too, like, and I've always pictured it in my mind, something coming down from the sky, like you said, it, whether or not it's, which I've never thought about it before, but even if it was like on the ground mm-hmm. making this mark, if it was on the ground, there's no way that it would be large enough to make that much of an indention to go, you know, under a leaf, be small enough to go under a leaf right. or whatever, or over a little pebble or rock and still leave that indention. Because like where I grew up, the tracks, they crisscrossed and were parallel to each other. There was numerous ones in the front of the house. Like I said, we were on a dirt road. So that dirt road was much more sandy and then like gravel. So the indention was deeper there. But like the dirt road, you know, it was deeper. But in the yard, like if you picture in the woods how the soil is, if you like rake back leaves, it was harder to have made an indention because it wasn't like you said, it's not like the soil here. It does have sand in it, but like this would have been harder to make an indention in the ground because it wasn't soft. It was packed where we lived, you know, because this was like in the woods and plus, you know, walking around and driving in this, and it was just yeah. like packed well, in soil.
You also talked, you said that it ran down to your grandmother's house,
yeah.
which was a distance away.
Yeah. So there was at least one or two lines that went down the dirt road, the side of it, all the way down that road, and then going into my grandparents' driveway. When you first pull in, now their house was also in the woods too, so they didn't have like grass or anything like that, but up in front of there was a small patch of woods in front of their house, and then between the dirt road and that patch of woods, there was a section, a clearing that was much more clay than like sandy dirt. It was like a deeper clay, and there wasn't leaves or trees or anything there. So it was easier for whatever this was to make this indention.
thing. So it was in the harder ground too.
Yeah.
So, we're not just talking about just the sandy parts.
Yeah. It's, so this was in the clay ground, and this was deeper in this area. Oh. The indention was deeper and I guess you could say more defined in the dirt road and in this area in front of my grandparents' house than it was in front of my brother's house, because the soil was much more packed in front of his home than on the dirt road and down there. But
and the lines are still straight.
Yeah, like, they're still no straight. Nothing at all.
So if it's the clay stuff, because mm-hmm. one of the things, and it's probably not that anymore, but Lee County used to be the brick capital of the world,
right?
Because of the clay soil in Lee County. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard. Like if it's clay, it's hard. If it's some kind of machine, your grandparents would have heard something. Your brother surely would have heard something.
Yeah,
coming back by his house, even if he said like, oh, maybe they turned around in his driveway and it's some kind of machinery.
Yeah.
But once again, like you said, you're not going to get those hardcore straight lines.
Right.
Somebody's going to wake up somewhere.
Yeah. And this was during the night. So it's very quiet out there because, like I said, right. This is very rural. It's down a dirt road in the woods. Like there, it's not like in town or something where you've got a bunch of noises to hide whatever could have been doing this. So whatever it was didn't wake my brother up during the night. I just, you know, and like I told you, I had my camera, I took pictures, but this was so long ago. At the time, I was married to my children's father. He was in the military and was overseas as a contractor. I think when he came home, I had put these pictures from the, like, remember the little SD cards, you know, that were in the cameras. I had put those pictures from the SD card onto the laptop that he had with him over there when he returned home. And those were where my pictures were. I guess I deleted them off of the SD card for the camera because I was always taking pictures, so I needed room on the card. And I kept them there. But see, this laptop was in the desert, so it got full of sand and all this time of all of us using it. And you know how if you're charging your laptop while you're using it, it gets moved around by the kids and all this stuff. That port to charge it got wore out, so it just didn't work anymore. And I don't know what, you know, my ex-husband probably threw it away because it got to where a lot of the buttons weren't working because of the sand and then not being able to charge. So those pictures are lost, but they were great pictures. I wish that I could share those because I know, you know, with me, if somebody tells me a story or tells me about something without actually seeing it for yourself, like you can't understand. And even me thinking about explaining how it went under, you know, I picked up a leaf and it went under it or over the rock or underneath the stick. Like if somebody was telling me this, I would just be like, crazy. I don't know. You know, you are making this up.
Well, but, and I will say, at least you're not going at it from the standpoint of, oh yeah, this is completely extraterrestrial, something landed down here or made these marks, you know, during the night. We've talked about it before. Lee County is right next door to Harnett County, Cumberland County, all of that. Mm-hmm. And that is the home of Fort Bragg.
Right.
We've talked about how could it possibly be something that the military did?
Yeah.
You know, doing maneuvers or something like that. Maybe they didn't realize the houses were out there, which they should be able to have some kind of night vision to see houses. But I know one of the funniest stories with my husband was they actually parachuted in the wrong area around Fayetteville one time.
Oh, God.
And they were supposed to parachute into empty fields and they parachuted into a subdivision.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine seeing that in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
And I remember asking my husband, like, what did you do? And he said, well, we just grabbed our parachutes and started walking down the road. And I'm like, that must have been horrifying for the neighborhood
they were all looking out their window thinking World War III is happening.
I was just thinking, like, you know, a whole Red October kind of thing. But you've looked at it from, could this be military?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is it some kind of laser they were using? Did it go askew? Did they aim it at the wrong place? And
yeah,
you know, were they testing it out? And it was suddenly But what would you do with that? Like, what?
I know, because like initially when this happened, you know, me and my family have always been interested in weird stuff or paranormal stuff or whatever. And so, you know, we're like, wow, my God, what in the world? Dude, this is so bizarre. And, you know, we couldn't explain it. But through the years, I've always wondered what could have done this. But in the back of my mind, I was always thinking, you know, yeah, it could have been something crazy. That wasn't of this world, but I just not knowing that much about military crafts or our equipment that we may have. I was just always thinking, I mean, it had to be some kind of plane or thing that was going over that the military did, you know, they were just doing something and it just randomly did that. But in trying to research to see if other places have had this occur or anybody else has seen any lines or shapes or like this on the internet, I can't find anything to match it. You know, of course, if you Google this kind of subject matter, you get all of the crop circles and all of those pictures that are in these valleys or meadows or whatever in other countries and stuff and things like that. But I couldn't find anything matching this. And also, I tried to find out about what kind of course, I mean, I know the internet's not going to tell me like top secret military stuff, but when I tried to find out if there was any kind of laser things on our aircrafts or whatever, you know, everything that came up for me as far as that was just that you can't point the lasers at the aircrafts because the FBI will come after you and all that, you know. And I didn't even know that was a thing, but
like blinds the pilots or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But I couldn't find anything to support any of this. So, you know, I don't know if anyone has ever seen anything like this or would have any idea what might would have caused it, because like I was trying to explain to Tammy what they look like without having these pictures to show her. And, you know, of course, my two oldest kids, I don't think they even remember what they looked like. My mom and my brother, of course, were the only other adults that saw this. But the only thing that I could think of is if you take in some soil that where you can make a mark in, where it's soft enough, take a ruler on its side or something that has just a perfect edge and just kind of back and forth, make a soft indention. And, you know, some places it was like at least a quarter, maybe a half inch deep into the soil. It wasn't just like slight.
Right. So like there was no denying.
No, it was like really there.
Yeah.
So okay, maybe better as far as the deeper indention and the width of it. Let me not say a ruler, but if you took maybe a PVC pipe that was, I don't know, maybe the size of like your middle finger, pointer finger, somewhere in that size, especially if you're a man, that at the size of your finger as opposed to mine, or if woman's fingers are thinner, but that size PVC pipe, lay it down and kind of back and forth, make a motion in a soft, sandy soil.
So it has some width to it. Yeah, it's not just like a...
Yeah, it wasn't like thin, like the width of a pencil or anything. Right. It was thicker than that. So if you did that and then just lifted it straight up, that's what it looked like. But it went on forever. Like you could follow it into the woods to where there was leaves and everything covering the woods where you couldn't see it on the ground anymore. Like you could follow it in one direction or the other, you know, crisscross and everywhere that it went. It didn't curve or bend, you know, it didn't make a 90 degree angle or anything like that. It was completely straight and went all the way until, you know, you couldn't see anymore.
We were talking about like the how when you researched it to see if you could find anything else and you came up with the pictures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to know if you could see from the air if it made some kind of diagram or something. Since you know how it goes down to your grandparents' house and I guess you wouldn't have been able to see it through the woods, but obviously it's under, you know, the leaves and the limbs and stuff, like you said, because you've moved some of them and it's continuing on.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, it's very odd. And it would just make me wonder if couldn't see some kind of form shaping up or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And just because they think, and I think it's, is it the Nazca lines or something like that? Uh-huh. Like the figures that you see across the world.
Right.
That are these huge drawn figures.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that extraterrestrials use these to help navigate, I guess.
Okay.
And it would almost make me wonder, is it some kind of something they've drawn for themselves, like it's like in an arrow, like that way?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know what I just thought of, Tammy? I grew up right at Sharon Harris Power Plant.
Oh my goodness.
Because we had the horn
down at
the end of the dirt road that would always go off, you know, and it was eerie to hear those. And even though that, you know, they were practice drills, but yeah.
Oh my goodness. And that's going to lead us into one of our stories.
Yeah.
So when she talks about Sharon Harris is a nuclear power plant just south of Raleigh that's out there. And one of the things that we've talked about before, and it's in one of my stories that I picked up off the internet, and we've talked about this before when we talked about UFOs, how UFOs are quite frequently seen around military installations that have nuclear power.
Yes.
Or nuclear weapons.
Yes.
So, yeah, that is something we've never talked about before.
I haven't even always forget made Sharon that Harris connection.
Yeah. Staying on the course of talking about this being extraterrestrial, I thought I would look up and see, because, you know, we've kind of gone over a lot of UFO stories and stuff like that about kind of popular ones that you can see on Discovery and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I would see what was going on UFO-wise, since we're hearing a little bit more about it on the news and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the top three that I found all happened in the month of May this year.
Oh.
And so, and then I'm going to talk about one that happened in 2004, but it's going to go back to the whole nuclear thing that we've talked about with UFOs before.
Right, right.
So these are pretty quick. So all of these three stories all came from a website called latest-ufo-sightings.net. And they seem to be, they're like, if you just search UFOs, they tend to be like the very first thing that shows up.
Uh-huh.
And they just have the whole site is dedicated to UFO sightings.
Okay.
And you can write in, you can send your photos. And like I said, all three of these stories have photos and or video to go along with the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the very first one. And I started with newest and went to oldest for the month. And it says, on May 18th of 2022, a bright orb shape was seen in the skies of Yelm, Washington. This orb was seen darting across the sky and then abruptly stopping in the air to let an airplane fly past. Now, in the picture, you can see there is a bright orb in the sky and you see this plane, and they're in the same photo.
Uh-huh.
So according to the witness that sent us in, this orb was flying around and it stopped. The airplane flew past and then the orb continued on its way.
Wow.
And then, so it stopped, let this airplane fly past it, and then it continued onward. And the witness statement reads, a bright single non-flashing light goes over my head, flies into the path of an airplane where it stops and let the airplane pass. Now, their statement said it flew into the path. I don't think they meant to say that, because it said that it stopped and it let the airplane pass. So, yeah. But like I said, there is a picture. I don't know if there's video on that one or not, but there is a picture of the airplane and the orb in the sky. The orb is just a very bright ball-shaped object.
Mm-hmm.
And the airplane looks to be, you know, just your typical commercial airliner.
Okay.
And then on May 16th of this year, a metallic tic-tac-shaped UFO was seen over Lake Elsinore, California. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but, and it seemed to be observing another orb-shaped object in the sky. It says witnesses to the UFO say it had strange erratic movements. The witness statement goes on to say the tic-tac object first was observing the orb to the northeast, hovering for several minutes. And it said that the orb that it was observing looked like it was also metallic. And it said, suddenly, this larger tic-tac object appeared, started flying southeast, and then made an abrupt change in direction and elevation, almost to the degree of being robotic. Uh-huh. It went fast, abrupt, and kept flying straight. So I guess it was making like very synchronized looking maybe movements or something. Yeah. But it in that story, it said that it seemed to be observing or interacting with this other orb that was in the sky. Hmm. And like I said, there's a picture of the tic-tac shaped object that they took a picture of. Uh-huh. Now on that one, I don't know that I'm sold because, so this is in California and I don't know how far away from, you know, that's where, what is it like, what is Elon Musk? I think he's always sending up satellites, Starlink and all that. I can't think of what his thing is called, but you know, he's constantly kind of sending up these rockets. Uh-huh. And to me, in this photo, it doesn't seem, it seems like it might be more, I can't even think of what it, so it's like a tic-tac in the front, but it seemed like it might have something on the backside of it. Uh-huh. So to me, I kind of wondered if this tic-tac object might not be them trying to launch one of these satellites and maybe something uh-huh. goes askew with it. But like I said, there is a picture on there. You guys, you know, can look at it. And
so there was an orb and then the tic-tac shaped object. Right. So they seem to interact with each other.
That was the perception of the person that wrote this in and sent the pictures in.
Okay.
But like I said, when I saw the tic-tac object, I kind of felt like it could have been just based on what some of the stuff that Elon Musk company, when they send their rockets up, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just kind of maybe think of one of those rockets because, you know, people have thought that when they've been sending those into space that it's been something else. And then it'd be like, oh, no, they launched another rocket or another satellite or something.
Okay. Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, it's a daytime photo. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I wasn't as sold on that one looking quite as, yeah, that looks odd to me.
Yeah.
But
was it like got a tail on it or something?
To me, it did look like it had a tail.
Okay.
But then it could be maybe a glare or something in the photo that I'm reading into it being a tail. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, is it a TikTok? I don't know.
Gotcha.
But I mean, obviously the person who witnessed it thought that those two things were interacting. Mm-hmm. I'll give it to him. I wasn't there. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then on May 14th, it says a strange orb was filmed hovering above Maiden, North Carolina. This is more in our neck of the woods.
Oh, okay.
And it says Maiden, North Carolina. I did make a note here. Maiden, North Carolina is about an hour's drive southwest of Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
It's about an hour's drive or approximately 40 miles. Hmm. So kind of, it's at the foothills. It says at the mountains there.
Yeah.
The witness statement on this one says this object was very distant, but it seemed to hover and shapeshift. I thought maybe a weather balloon at first until I noticed the morphing activity. This one has a picture and I'm not really sure. There may be a video on this one, but the picture gives me helium balloon kind of vibes. But the person in the witness said that they thought it was a balloon until they saw it shapeshift.
Okay.
Now, my thought on that one would be, was it the balloon that was kind of deflating yet was caught up in the air? Uh-huh. And was it just being twisted by the winds maybe? And that's what they were seeing as shape-shifting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how big. They don't really give any specifics on how big they think the object is in the sky. Mm-hmm. So that's my other thing. Because this person said a weather balloon. And I would think a weather balloon would be kind of large.
Yeah. And two, I think like anytime you would see something in the sky that was kind of odd and you think it might be some kind of alien craft, the specific thing that would make it stand out and be like, oh, okay, this is not a balloon or something, is the speed of it.
Right.
Okay, if it's moving slowly,
right,
then more than likely it could be some kind of a balloon or whatever.
And that would be nice. Is it going across the sky or is it
going up?
Constantly going up?
Yeah. Slowly.
You know, like, it's constantly going up, but or maybe if it zips up quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 true.
That might have a tendency to believe you. Okay, so the other thing is, and I had made a... So when I was looking for UFO stories, uh-huh. one of the big things that comes up when I was looking at these UFO stories was, so Congress had a meeting this past week uh-huh. on May the 19th. It says... that there was a congressional briefing on UFOs that took place on May 19th. This is the first time this has happened in 50 years.
Wow.
The last time they did a congressional briefing on UFOs was in 1966. Mm. And it says that the Pentagon, the story that I read about it, it was on that UFO site. Uh-huh. It was also Yahoo News did a big article on it. So if you want to look on Yahoo News, they did a big article on it. The one thing that was said on the UFO website was, don't go into reading the briefing thinking you're going to find out anything new, because what they did was they had a congressional briefing that was open for some given amount of time, but then the meeting was closed, and they talked about other things behind closed doors that they did not allow people in to hear the discussion of. So it says, don't expect for them to be coming outright and talking about extraterrestrials and UFOs, because they closed the meeting off at some point and continue to discuss.
So, well, what did they say out in the open if it was specifically about
UFOs? they went over different types of UFOs that had been seen by military people, most of it seemed to be that had been seen by military pilots, and maybe Navy, which we're going to get into one of the stories about the Navy.
Yeah.
But stuff like that. So it seemed to be more like they were leaning to more of these military type UFO stories, probably because they were giving those a little bit more credence.
Yeah.
But like definitely. I said, when it got down to the nitty gritty, they closed the meeting and went behind closed doors. Wow. So that was what they said in the article about the meeting. But you can, if you guys are interested in that, there are a few things that are shown at the meeting, like UFOs, you know, that are on video.
So they looked at video them there?
There is a guy. So somebody had taken a picture of a gentleman, and he is in front of like a screen. Uh-huh. And obviously something's on the screen and he's talking about it.
Yeah.
Now, what that particular thing is, I'm not really sure. But it was just that's the part in the article that I got to. There's like, don't expect to learn anything new, because they went behind closed doors to have most of the discussion.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, we're going to have a briefing and then we're going to close the door. Yeah. We're still not going to tell you anything. But so when we talk about military people seeing things, and we've talked about that before in some of our UFO stories, especially, is it Ram?
Rendlesham.
Yeah. I don't know why I want to go say Ramstein. That's the military base that I know. But so Rendlesham. And we know that they had some kind of visitation from some, you know, something of not of unknown origin. So that's, you know, UFOs are of unknown flying objects.
Yes, I'm anxious to hear this story.
So this was a story that I haven't heard. And evidently this guy has come forward, not recently, but maybe there's a Discovery show out there about this, but I haven't seen it. And you and I are pretty hardcore about watching our UFO and paranormal shows. Mm-hmm. But this was an article that came out in The Sun. So it's, if you want to read it full, because I'm not going to read the full thing. It was pretty lengthy. And I'm just going to talk about this this one military person's account of what happened. But The Sun, you go to The Sun .co.uk. So this is an article that came out in United Kingdom. And the article was written by Henry Holloway, and it was dated May 10th, 2022. So this year.
Okay.
And it says, in regards to an incident that happened to the crew of the USS Ronald Reagan off the East Coast of the US in 2004. So, I'm going to butcher his name. Mr. Olsiak, who was in active service from 2002 to 2006, was aboard the USS Ronald Reagan and was stationed on watch on this particular night. Mm-hmm. He was on the carrier's central island when he saw the giant floating orange orb at around 8 p.m. The quartermaster estimated the object was up to 40 feet across. wow. hovering over the flight deck. And he says hundreds of people working on the deck had to have seen this phenomenon. Mm-hmm. The UFO was near the ship, which was traveling around 22 knots for around 4 hours. So remember, I told you it was seen for a significant amount of time. So 4 hours is what he is saying. And he said that there was an eerie calm amongst the senior officers and the bridge crew, as if they had seen a phenomenon like this before. So really? It's like, yeah. So basically he took it as they had seen this happen before and they were just waiting to see what else was going to happen.
Oh, wow.
It says the entire bridge team was pilots. So everybody's on this bridge is pilots. Uh-huh. My assumption is, yes, they had seen something similar to this before, but I asked an officer if any of them were talking about it the next day, and all he would reply was yes. The former U.S. Navy sailor told the Sun the orb or the thing, quote unquote, remained near the supercarrier until Mr. Olsiak's watch came to an end and he was relieved by another crewman. He described it as reminding him of biblical descriptions of the burning bush and having negative energy.
What?
Yeah. It says Mr. Olsiak believes it's possible someone may have taken photos and videos of this object, but the incident occurred before camera phones were common and the crew did not carry mobile phones on deck. It's hard to believe somebody would be sitting on it for this long, he told the Sun.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, to him, it was hard to believe that nobody had come forward before he had come forward. Uh-huh. Also, I wanted to, so it says the USS Ronald Reagan is a Nimitz-class nuclear-powered supercarrier in the service of the U.S. Navy. There are roughly 3,200 personnel aboard the ship at any given time. And, well, I also wanted to clarify, I want to say Nimitz. So I had to look that up to see what kind of thing that was. And it says Nimitz refers to a class of 10 nuclear powered aircraft carriers in service with the United States Navy. It says the lead ship of the class is named after World War II United States Pacific Fleet Commander Admiral Chester W. Nimitz, who was the last living U.S. Navy sailor to hold the rank. So it's just a class of nuclear powered aircraft carriers is what it amounts to.
Okay.
So when we were talking about, you know, once again, you have a weird object approaching a nuclear source, a nuclear power source. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that makes this story stand out to me, because it's like, here we are again.
Yeah.
Nuclear power. Odd things happening around this nuclear power. What's the end game to that? Like, what is going on? Are they trying to get that power?
Yeah.
Are they trying to just check on us using that power?
Right.
That's the scary part.
I feel like they're harnessing it. And, you know, if it was hanging out for that amount of time over this aircraft carrier, I feel like they would have to have in their capabilities, the way they can travel so fast and all this stuff, you know, they can like scan or x-ray or whatever they have and see the total inside this ship and what is inside of it, the power sources and everything. And I think That's what they're doing, or what they were doing in that instance.
Yeah.
But like we said, I didn't even know that we had aircraft carriers that were nuclear powered. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why?
Well, I know we have submarines.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at some point I had heard that. Maybe it's one of those things you're just like, oh, you just accept it. Uh-huh. And you're like, oh, okay, that's a thing. I think when this guy talks about how he asked, you know, the pilots and other people, like, is anybody talking about this? And they're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the reason nobody else has come out about this, I think probably what happens is the military squashes this stuff very quickly.
Yeah.
Because think about it. If you knew for sure that there was something unknown to us that keeps approaching military things like this,
right,
it would be a terrifying thought. And you know, it's one of those things where I think, and I hate to quote the movie because it's not a, you know, it's a fictional movie, but Men in Black, right. when he is trying to convince Will Smith's character to join Men in Black.
Yeah.
And one of the things Tommy Lee Jones's character says
right.
is people are smart, but a person, no, he says, a person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it. And the before he says that, though, he says, a person is smart, and then, but people are dumb, panicky. So I think that's one of the reasons we'll never know for sure. I think the government thinks that we'll all freak out.
I don't know. I know that they don't tell us things, but I hope that in not telling us because of panic and top secret things that they are and have been for a long time producing a weapon to defend us right. in the case that might come about.
Yeah. We were talking before the podcast, and we were talking about like what they know and how they can manipulate things based on other people's stories.
Right.
If those people telling those stories are being truthful.
Yes.
And I think, obviously, if any of the stories are true about them kidnapping, or not kidnapping, but abducting human beings and doing experiments, they have to know a lot about us. And they have to know that we are squishy life forms that can be, you know, taken out very easily.
Yeah.
And like we were talking about, if they're checking on this nuclear stuff, it makes me wonder if they are living amongst us and they are using the earth for any kind of source of anything.
Yeah.
They obviously would not want us to use this nuclear power to destroy the whole world, because then that, whatever they're here for, I would think that would destroy whatever they're coming for too.
Right.
Unless they have the knowledge that we don't possess to know how to clean up after the fact.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, which would be terrifying to think that they're sitting around waiting for us to wipe ourselves out.
Yeah.
And then they'll swoop in and have the planet and they have to do nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's what the government thinks, is like, we'll all be panicking and, you know, and I give it a certain, you know, there's always a doomsday set of mind of people. And,
who knows how long these beings have been in existence? Because if you think and you believe and know about evolution of humans,
right,
and all the animals on the planet, like in a span of time, and we don't have record of, you know, how going back in time, like Native Americans and then ancient civilizations have some pictures of, you know, depictions of what might be alien creatures right. or some kind of contact. So if you just go back that far, which is thousands of years or whatever, in the span of time, that's not a lot. But if they have been in contact with our planet for, let's just say, at least a few, several thousand years or whatever, and they haven't tried to take over the planet or annihilated humans
right.
in that long amount of time that they've been contacting us or coming here, then hopefully that is not their intention. However, it seems like, you know, with their capabilities, from what you see on these videos of their movement, like they're traveling faster than the speed of sound and all of this, they have such capabilities that they could take us out at any minute if they wanted right. to, but they haven't. So let's just hope that's not what they have in mind, but they're still apparently aggressively honing in on our energy sources, as far as nuclear energy sources, our military bases, and just, you know, in all the supposed cases of people going missing or being abducted. Like, right. I know that this subject is crazy to a lot of people, but I feel like they are using humans' DNA. They're, you know, reproducing other species with us, or what are they doing?
Right.
You know, like, cause if you think of us studying some small creature that is on this planet, how we treat some living things, right. unfortunately, to us, you know, those things are, you know, whatever. We can study very disposable. Yeah. And so I feel like that's how possibly we are to them. So for any of us or any amount of us to die, they're, you know, I don't think it's a big deal to them. They're just they're just poking and prodding and dissecting and seeing how we work.
Right. Well, just like we would do, because like on the, you know, this being the podcast that it is, we talk about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I want them to find Bigfoot.
Right.
But I don't want them to find Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Because we are going to dissect that poor thing to find out everything about it.
Yeah.
Now, when I say dissect, maybe not cut it open, because thank God we have the means to x-ray it and other things where we wouldn't have to kill it.
Yeah.
But we are going to poke and prod the heck out of that poor thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel like it's been abducted.
Right.
Just like, you know, these abduction stories go.
Yeah. Because, you know, if we had the capability and knew that there was another species or other species of beings on another planet, we could get to them, we would be doing the same thing. We would be taking them and studying how their bodies work, and
we'd be spying on them.
Yeah, all this other stuff. And so that's probably what has been going on and what they're doing. But it's just a scary thought.
Well, that's why, you know, the more that you look at UFOs, like my favorite joke, and I don't know if it's a joke, but my favorite explanation that, and I said to the kids, like I said this when they were younger, is it's like a kid entering a science fair, and like you forget, and the kid forgot that they had to be in the science fair for science class or whatever, or maybe it's a science class experiment. You were supposed to be doing it all year, and you forgot. Oh no! And it's due tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you know, if a kid puts dirt in a cup and takes it, and then it's just like, well, it's a cup of dirt.
Yeah.
And my favorite explanation, and this is how I explain it to myself, is maybe Earth is just
a cup of dirt.
Oh, God. So just to our deity, you know, like whether you believe in God or whatever, like maybe maybe the thing that we think rules our planet, which is God, maybe we're God's cup of dirt. And everybody else in the class is doing a little bit better, and their people, they're sending their things over to check out his cup of dirt.
Yeah.
And then we're just totally screwing up his grade because we can't get it together.
Right.
And get along. And then we got all these other, you know, classmates of his that are just zipping in and checking on things, and, you know, and maybe, you know. That's my favorite way of looking at it, is thinking that God's walking into a science class with us as his cup of dirt, be like,
oh God,
this is a cup of dirt. They won't do what I want them to do.
He's gonna get like fifth place.
it's like, sorry, you're going to fail science
participation
class
award.
He's like, I keep trying to redo it, and they still won't act right. I know that's gonna offend a lot of people. I just love that, you know, just thinking about different deities and stuff, and he's walking in with planet Earth, and it's his, he's like, it didn't work out. It's just a cup of dirt. What's this crawling around on it? Oh, don't know.
Oh God.
They're called humans. They don't act right. All right, guys. So if anybody has any idea about what Brandy's family saw or what that could be. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we've kind of, you know, you would lean more toward a military thing. lasers. And if you knew how lasers work, tell Brandy we're wrong. I mean, tell Brandy and I were wrong. Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I get it. Maybe lasers don't have to be heat sensing. Maybe they can move dirt without damaging anything.
Right.
That'd be great to, I mean, I'm just tidbit of knowledge. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
To know that. Because I know they do amazing things with lasers. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, throw us your ideas, what you think it could be. And
yeah, or say, if you've got any pictures or any stories or anything that sounds similar, you know, or like Tammy said, any kind of thought you might have on what could have done it if you've been in the military or anything like that, just email us and let us know. Send us pictures or whatever. We'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, exactly. Give us an idea what you think it is. Like, we're not going to. You're not going to make us mad. We're old enough. We can take it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So we're going to end our podcast there. And we hope you enjoyed it. If you have any stories of your own to send us, please do that. We will have our email and all the information to get in touch with us attached to the show notes. So you can just reach us there. We would love to hear from you. So until next time.
Bye-bye.